This is the August 11 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am Todd Gleason. This is the August 11 edition of Commodity Week, USDA Report Day. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, from right here in Champaign County, as well as Brian Stark of the Andersons, also from Champaign County. And we'll be joined by Joe Jansen, too, from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He is an agricultural economist. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, willag.org. Don't forget that at the end of the month, on the 29th, 30th, and 31st of August, we'll be in Decatur at the Farm Progress Show. We'll have Commodity Week panels. We'll have Commodity Week. We'll have market panel discussions at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. daily during the Farm Progress Show. You're welcome to join us in the University of Illinois tent. That's just inside the main gate and to the right, about a block and a half. Greg Johnson, we'll start with you today from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. I bet your phones just rang off the hook at 11 o'clock once that USDA report was released this morning.
We did have quite a few people calling in, curious about the numbers and the impact on the market. But with the recent sell-off, I think we've kind of gone into the store and ignore mode for a lot of farmers. So not as busy as what we had hoped, but definitely busier than what we have been the last several days.
Tell me about basis and what it's done and what your expectations are going through the month of August now.
Basis levels look to have, let's break it down into old crop and new crop. Right now, old crop basis is firming up, especially in the soybeans. There is a little bit of demand as crushers and end users need to accumulate a few more beans prior to getting to the new crop bean harvest. So we have seen basis levels pick up, and that's not unusual for this time of year. It's kind of a poker game with just very few people playing poker, and you know who's going to be the last one holding the bag. The processors need beans, but once they get enough or think they have enough, then the basis drops. But until they do, the basis gets a little bit stronger. So that's what we've seen in soybeans. Old crop basis has firmed up probably 10, 15 cents here over the last 10 days. Corn basis is firm, but there is harvesting going on down south, and so the expectation is that the old crop corn basis probably will start to weaken here any time. So for farmers that still have old crop corn and beans, getting basis locked in is probably the right thing to do before basis starts slipping further into those new crop values. As far as new crop is concerned, the rains here in August have really improved the optimism of the trade that there will be a crop to store. So basis levels tend to weaken as the crop gets bigger. I wouldn't say that the basis levels have necessarily weakened, but the concern that basis would have to do most of the work this fall by improving and to draw corn out, I think that's kind of gone by the wayside. So basis levels are a little bit steady-ish to weak-ish on new crop, but old crop basis levels are still firm.
Now, you just said something that probably put a little scare into the folks that still haven't got enough corn sold. As the corn crop gets bigger, USDA at 175.1, that as of August 1st, do you think this corn crop's getting bigger?
I'm not sure the corn crop is getting bigger, although they did take 2.1 bushels off, so that's quite a bit. I'm not looking for a whole lot more to come off of that. So I guess the beans are the one where I think they probably could see a rebound in the beans. They did take every bit of a bushel, 1.1 bushels per acre off the bean yield. That's the one that these August rains may add some yield back, whereas corn, I think it just stabilizes where we're at. I don't know that we necessarily add anything back. So, but even so, the fact that it's not going to probably go a whole lot lower on the yield tells me that there's probably enough corn out there to fill the bins. this fall. So I guess I don't see basis doing most of the work. I see basis being steady to weakish going into the fall for corn, unless China shows up and we have another fall soybean program like we've had the last 2 years, and that's still very possible. But corn export demand just seems to be very lackluster, and so I guess I'm not very optimistic for corn basis this fall.
Anything in the S&D tables from the consumption side that caught your eye this morning? There weren't many changes, but a few.
Yeah, they lowered last year's corn exports by 25 million. They lowered this year's corn exports by 50 million. And that may still be too high. I mean, that 2.1 billion number, when we only exported 1.6 last year, and we're not, off to a robust start, and you know, it all probably boils down to China. But the Brazilians are going to plant more corn, so they're going to compete for our export market. So I guess that I think the USDA did the right thing, in my opinion, by lowering the exports by 50 million. I just wonder whether that reduction in exports will continue over the next several months.
What did farmers ask when they actually called this morning after 11 o'clock?
Overall impact, you know, how much of a bump can we realistically expect? With soybeans, the carryout down around 260, 245 now, that actually is very friendly, and we still aren't out of the woods yet, as far as yield is concerned. So that yield could take a hit one way, or, you know, could go up or down depending on August, the balance of August. But that's still extremely tight. And with China looming there as far as soybeans demand, I think there's a little bit more optimism for beans. At least we've got a floor under the market, it seems like. That $13 price for November futures probably will hold. We hit $14 not too long ago. I think that might be out of the question, but nothing that says we can't get back to $13.50, $13.75 November futures anyway. So I think there's a little bit of optimism in the soybean numbers. As far as corn, farmers are hoping for, you know, we're hoping for some friendly news, and even with a 2-bushel yield reduction, the upside is going to be limited in corn. I mean, we're trading around $5 today. Maybe we can get to $5.10, $5.20, but the days of $5.50, $6 corn probably are in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, so given what you've just told me, farmers are going to really need to think about what their total net gross income looks like. Do they need to make soybean sales to make up for the issues they'll have, maybe with some losses in their corn?
That's very possible. That I think we're in profitable territory with soybeans at this point. So if we have anything close to a normal yield or slightly above normal yield on the beans, that probably will make up for some of the shortfall in the corn. It's going to be hard to get the corn market to justify the kind of profit levels we've had the last several years. So this may just be a year where we just need to tread water, try to stay above water on the corn side of it, and have the bean marketing program make most of our money this year.
Indiana has record corn and soybean yields. You think that's right?
The weather's been good in Indiana and Ohio this year. Illinois came late to the party. We've had nice weather here the last several weeks. So Indiana and Ohio have probably had better weather, wetter weather earlier than we did. So I guess I wouldn't rule that out. It seems like the varieties, the genetics have been so much better that I guess I'm not going to rule that out. I think Illinois' yields are looking much better than what we thought they were for as dry as it was in May, June, and July. So I guess since we had so much stress and our crops are going to be average to slightly above average or slightly below average either side, depending on who got the rain, I guess with less stress in Indiana and Ohio in those earlier months, I guess I wouldn't rule out something close to record crops anyway in those states.
Speaking of good crops, this crop is actually a little bit better than last year's corn crop across the nation. You think that's right? It's really close, but it is a better crop, at least according to the numbers today.
I don't. That one. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far yet. I guess let's give it another month and see. These kernels from people that have been walking fields they're saying they're extremely small. Now that's not to say we can't have small kernels with high test weight, but just on the surface, it just feels like The ears aren't quite as big, the kernels aren't quite as deep, and it's going to be hard to call this going to be a record crop based compared to last year, based on what I've seen so far anyway.
Greg Johnson is with TGN. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com from here in Champaign County, Illinois. Now we're joined by Joe Jansen. He's an agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thanks, Joe, for being with us. I'd like you to take us through the numbers as they were released by USDA this morning. Can you set them up for me?
Yeah, big numbers for corn and soybeans were the updated yield estimates. USDA revising lower both corn and soybean yields for this current 2023 crop. USDA's corn yield estimate dropped 2.4 bushels per acre from 177.5 to 175.1. And the soybean yield estimate dropped about 1.1 bushels from 52 to 50.9 bushels per acre. So both sort of modest revisions lower that followed, especially for corn, already slightly lower than trend yield expectations. The other big numbers were then, on the other side, revision lower in usage to sort of reflect that smaller crop. So exports for both corn and soybeans were revised lower, slightly lower, and then the feed estimate was revised lower for corn as well.
It didn't seem to surprise the trade very much. Oftentimes the August report can do that. The trade and USDA seem to be on the mark together. What does this tell you about the crop size going forward, if anything, into the month of September?
Yeah, if we go down and look at what analysts were projecting before the report, everything that USDA released, roughly speaking, falls in line with the midpoint of where analysts' estimates were prior to the report. So, and the market reaction has largely reflected that. Corn market has been pretty flat following the release of the report. There was a big jump up in the few minutes just after the report release, but we're seeing sort of December corn right around $5. Soybean market November soybeans up just a little bit at about 13.25. So the reaction is kind of muted, and I think that reflects, it sort of tells us that basically two things. The what we knew going into this report, the big picture things that we knew about the overall supply and demand balance haven't changed much. We have this much larger than last year's corn crop coming, in part because the huge number of planted acreage. Remember that at the end of June, USDA revised its planted acreage estimate up to 94.1 million acres in the United States for corn this year. Despite fluctuations in yield, that's just that sheer size of the planted acreage for corn is going to mean a bigger corn crop. That's going to sort of kind of keep corn in this area around $5, which is lower than price levels we've seen in the last few years. For soybeans, same sort of thing applies. Yield estimates are going to fluctuate. I think we have still sort of much more to learn about the yield of this year's soybean crop, but with a smaller number of planted acreage, it's putting us at a pretty tight situation in terms of overall availability of soybeans. The USDA revised their ending stocks number for soybeans down to 245 million bushels. That's a pretty tight level. And that's going to mean potentially more volatility in the soybean market going forward.
USDA earlier in the week sent an email out telling us that there could be updates to the wheat acreage in this report, that there could be updates to the soybean and corn acreage in the September report based on the administrative data that they have access to from both the FSA and the RMA. Is that something that we need to take account for, or is it just telling us going forward that in these reports, if there is a need, we'll change it, but not indicating that there actually is a need?
Yeah, I think we know that there's sort of much more to learn and potentially more volatility as a result, because we're still in a situation where, especially for beans, the size of that crop is not set in stone yet. We have more to learn. And USDA is kind of at least telegraphing, here's how we learn about that. Here's how we're going to update our numbers on the basis of this particular information. I think that's useful to the market. to have that expectation built in, so when we get the September numbers, we know a little bit better where they come from.
Did we find anything in the wheat change for harvested or planted acreage that might indicate there would be more soybean acres?
No, honestly, Todd, I haven't really looked into it too much to say. I think the one thing we learned about wheat was just situation in North Dakota, I think, is still pretty fluid. They, you know, they're starting wheat harvest there now, or well into it at this point. And I think, you know, we'll learn more going forward.
When you take all the numbers together, and I've heard you talk to producers about their marketings at least about a month ago, suggesting that they really needed to be very on top of both corn, particularly corn, and soybeans as well. Does this change anything today? It would seem probably not.
The message hasn't changed. I mean, the one thing to just note is just how sharp the inverse is between old crop and new crop. If anyone has 2022 crop still sitting to be marketed, that crop needs to move in the very near future. We're even seeing a big inverses between front half of August versus last half of August in the cash market. But then being really proactive about the marketing for this 2023 crop, especially for corn. I mean, we're going to be in a situation where the corn crop size is going to be larger in the U.S. That does kind of limit the upside. It may create some opportunities to store corn, but farmers can't capture the returns to storage unless they're looking at sort of what does the harvest time bid look like, and then how does that compare to the deferred bids for forward delivery into calendar year 2024.
So you have to take into account, if you're on the farm, interest, and then if you're doing commercial storage, interest, and of course the in charge, I suppose.
That's exactly right. We know that, you know, there's pressure on prices at harvest time. There is a chance to capture some carry in the market, but you have to compare that to the full cost of storage, which includes both the opportunity cost of not getting paid right away and that interest cost. And then also any cost that you have, whether that's commercial storage fees or just the in and out cost of handling and then moving that grain later in the marketing year.
Joe Jansen is an agricultural economist from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may find his pinnings on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now let's come back to the county and we'll discuss the marketplace with Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons from right here. Thanks, Brian, for being with us. Can you tell me your observations as the reports were released this morning?
I think general consensus, pretty close to the average trade guess. Not a lot of surprises. Obviously, corn yield being dropped 2.4 bushel per acre, and then small demand adjustments according to that yield drop kind of fell within line. But carry out at 2.2 billion for corn, still fairly comfortable. On the bean side, similar adjustments expected, close to the average trade guess, down a bushel, a little over a bushel on the yield, and a little bit of tweaking there as well. Carry out does snug up a little bit to 245. So I think obviously beans certainly have the more dynamic fundamental scenario today as we see the numbers. And as we go forward over the next 30 to 60 days and we get more refined on production, what that means, I think that'll help the market kind of align. But I think the big elephant in the room, Todd, even through this, we've talked about this all summer, is the lack of demand and how demand may still be inflated to some extent here on both S&D table, specifically on corn. So that is a concern. The producers obviously are not excited about what the board has done, and I expect us to stay range bound. I think as you look forward, the nice thing about it for those of us from a risk management perspective that have a revenue crop insurance policy, really need to focus in on your yield potential, because right now your 85% RP policy, that revenue price component of that floor is triggering with these corn trading around 490. So I think growers have some time to be patient, but I think the most at-risk bushels, the ones they don't have storage for, they need to think about finding a home. With a lack of demand and a normal crop in areas, I think the bigger additional risk that producers are going to face is the lack of storage and potentially weak basis with the lack of demand here this harvest.
Well, those are two items. I want to get back to the storage. However, tell me about the consumption side. Where is the lack of demand? Is it just in the export market, or are there other issues?
I think the export market obviously is number one, with the huge Brazilian Safrinha corn crop coming off, potentially could drag some of their demand through fall, as well as the big bean crop they had. So first and foremost, everyone knows that's been a component. Ethanol has been the one sector that's been good. Some might argue, even though I'm not as close to the livestock numbers as others may be, that some of the numbers for animals have been down, and feed usage could be a tad high, depending on how the crop progresses here. So I think those are the two components, with ethanol being the one that supports corn. And of course, domestic crush has been very good on soybeans. So when it comes down to it, that kind of ties into space as we transition the conversation, because when the domestic consumer is the strongest component of your demand, there's only so much they're able to handle during harvest. And I think space becomes a challenge. We had a very good winter wheat crop in East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, and that's taken up some space. And obviously, if you have a normal to above normal soybean and corn crop, producers are going to have choices to make. And obviously, with the lack of export demand and the demand on feed being maybe a little bit below what we normally see, with localized crops in the Southeast being strong, you could see a hard time for elevators to stay fluid with the lack of train velocities this fall. So I think the biggest concern, biggest risk in my mind the producer has to manage is the at-risk bushels that he can't store on the farm that have to move to the elevator this fall.
Well, tell me more about that. What would you do? What are the prospects?
Well, I think right now the better prospects in my mind probably are to move corn. I think beans potentially have the weakest component, because the domestic crusher can only handle so much. There's more avenues on corn to find a home in general terms. And I think beans are probably going to be something that the producer looks at maybe robbing corn space temporarily. Obviously, with interest costs higher and the lack of big carries to offset that, it doesn't pay a ton to put beans in storage. But if you see basis localized in the 50, 60, 70 under the November versus corn at 30 to 35 under the December futures, there might be some corn or a better economic opportunity, the lesser of two evils, so to speak, where a grower wants to take advantage of moving corn to town. I would say, just like I normally do, there is going to be quick ship opportunities for the domestic consumption in the month of September, because if there's anything that's been consistent through our conversations with growers over the last couple of months, is the early dryness in June took the planting dates, whether it was early or later, and kind of brought the maturity together where you're not going to have a lot of separation. And with the good rainfall we've seen in the Eastern Corn Belt since the end of June, and people spraying fungicide, the crop may not be as ready, which is a good thing from a yield perspective. But from a timing perspective in September, we might be a week to 10 days later than normal. And that presents some opportunities for quick ship if growers can take advantage of it.
Well, so I've got some follow-up questions here. About the time you said space, producers were thinking, hey, wait a second, even though he's told me there was a good wheat crop and it's in, I don't think there's that much of that. And aren't you all empty because the old crop corn is gone? How can there be a space issue?
Well, I think space, from a space issue, if you look at a normal crop size, your main component is, all things being equal, you're absolutely correct. In an inverted market, you're not going to have much inventory there. However, every facility, in my experience in grain elevator management, will run through a point in time where in a normal to above normal crop, there's enough grain coming at it that you have to sell something during harvest. And with the lack of demand on the export side, and maybe not as much feed demand going to the Southeast, that becomes a problem for staying fluid logistically. So while early on, it may not be a challenge, but generally speaking in history, when you get to 50% complete on harvest and that second half of the crop starts to move, that's generally when you see the space crunch.
So fall delivery and then book space too?
Yeah, I think so. I think the message is to the grower is the best basis for the bushels that have to move the fall is going to be early on. So while historically a grower may fill his space first, It might be there may be opportunities in your localized market for a quick ship, good, better basis than a full fall basis through the last half of September, early days of October for both commodities. That if he feels like, hey, I've got to move X amount of bushels during harvest, the best basis opportunity for those bushels he can't store on farm, he may be better off shipping them first and then filling his space towards the back end of fall.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to the program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to Brian Stark from the Andersons, along with Greg Johnson of TGM, Total Grain Marketing, and Joe Jansen of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.